So today we're going to dig into the Torah a little bit. We're going to look for inspiration. Parshas told us, chapter 26, verse 13. The subject is Yitzchak. Yitzchak Avinu. And Yitzchak becomes very famous. Very, very successful. Vayigdal ha'ish. The man becomes great. Verse 13. Vayelech holech vagodel ad godal me'ed. So he uses a slew of descriptive terms that describes his continued progress. Yitzchak continues to wax and to grow until he becomes exceedingly great. Now, what does this mean? Ad ki gadol ma'id. So Rashi says that Yitzchak's greatness was not a matter of private record, but instead, this was public knowledge. Public knowledge to the point maybe even of hyperbole. But of course, perception is reality. So the perception of Yitzchak's greatness was really like unparalleled. What kind of perception was it? Rashi, quoting our sages from Bereshis Rabbah, gives us an example of the perception of the time. Shehayu Emrim, that people used to say, Zevel Prideisov, the manure that comes from Yitzchak's mules, which is to begin with an inferior kind of animal because it's created the mixing the different species of equestrian, of the horses and the donkeys. So Pridesov, the peret, this mule of Yitzchak, even the manure that it produces, v'loy kaspei v'zahovei shlavi melech. We'd rather have a pound of manure than a pound of gold and silver if it comes from Avi Melech. That's how great Yitzchak was. Talk about hyperbole. Now, when we talk about this notion of the greatness of Yitzchak, how great Yitzchak was, or how it was in people's perception, so Radak tells us that it was Oysher uberechush rav, that he had extraordinary affluence, extraordinary wealth. The Torah goes on to tell us about that wealth. Vayihilei miknei tzein, he had sheep, miknei bakar, an enormous amount of cattle. Vahavudah rabba, and much work. And the Pelishtim became very jealous of him. So Rashi says, the word avud rabba, I know it means miknetzayim. I know it means, you know, the meaning of bakar, as sheep and cattle. What's avud rabba? So Rashi says, pa'ula rabba. It means there was a lot going on. And that is to say, it would seem that Rashi refers here both to enormous amount of agriculture, agricultural activity, which are fields, vineyards. He has a huge workforce, and all of them are working. Rashi uses a French word now.
Mm-hmm. Which is it's an old French, which is like all the bakar, all the paot, all the behemoth, all the big behemoth.
So it's a general word for a lot of stuff going on. Okay, it's good you speak French. Aveda. Mashma avoda achas. When you say avodah, avodah means work, one toil. Avuda, when you vowelize it with a shuruk, mashma pu'ula rabba. It means much, many activities, much being done. So it wasn't one big thing, it was much that was done. Lots going on. Avuda rabba, in the other Rishonim, the Sefarno says, this refers to enormous amount of agriculture. He had many possessions or control over an enormous amount of fields to be worked, which lends itself to the idea of avuda rabba. Rashi really explains the concept of avuda rather than avoda rabba. Doesn't get into the details. The Rashbam says that avodas sodos v'chramim. We talk here about fields, talk here about vineyards, because Rashbam adds that avoda stam, when the word avoda, a work, shows up independently, he says that always refers to karka. That always refers to something which is earth or agriculture related. So they became jealous of him. Who became jealous? Rashi doesn't say. The Ramban says, Avimelech, and the Sarim, the ministers who were with him, they became jealous. The Sefarno says, everybody who was planting fields, everybody who was working on agriculture became jealous. Why were they jealous? They were jealous because of his great success. We read in the Chumash yesterday that in Yitzchak's time, he made an estimation of how much the field would produce. And it was an educated guess. It was based on things that made sense. And he ended up receiving or finding 100 times, 100-fold. So because he found 100-fold, Yitzchak had extraordinary success. And as we learned in yesterday's Chumash, even though it was a difficult time, even though it was a difficult place, nonetheless, an extraordinary success. Well, for the rest of the Pelishtim, says the Sefarno, that the fields they bought and worked on did not produce nearly as much as effort as they made. So they made an enormous amount of effort, and they were able to take very little yield, or very little profit, so to speak, out of it. And Yitzchak, on the other hand, has a avuda rabba, enormous efforts, and even bigger success reaped.
Mm-hmm.
So they're jealous. And this is typical old anti-Semitism. So what do? They strike out. V'chol ha-be'eres asher chofru avdei aviv, all of the wells that the servants of Avraham had dug, b'yemei Avraham, in the days of Avraham, aviv, his father, sitmum pelishtim. The pelishtim filled it. They sealed it off. V'yimalum ofer. They filled it with soil. Now Rashi says, sitmum pelishtim. A little bit later on, we're going to hear that Yitzchak returned and redug these wells of his father. So because we hear about Yitzchak redigging the wells, and that's really what the Torah emphasizes more so than anything else, is Yitzchak's well digging, because that's the case. The Torah first gives you the background. It says, they filled the wells, so Yitzchak went and redug the wells. Otherwise, hearing about their wells being redug wouldn't make any sense. Now, and the Semites always have to have some kind of good reason. It's not rationale. So they don't get up and say, oh, we're horrible people. They say, we have no choice. We needed to do this. We have to protect our national interests. It was the right thing to do. It was bad for us. We have to take care of number one first. Rashi says, what was the rationale for their act of vandalism and their harm of Yitzchak and his property? Mipnei sha'amru, they said, takolahim lanu. These wells create grave danger. They're a national security risk for us. Why? Well, what's the greatest protective factor for our country, besides having self-defense, an actual army that's able to defend them? Supplies. How are you going to supply? What broke the back of Napoleon?
The supply.
The supply line became more extended and more extended and more extended. And then the Russians started attacking the supply line. What broke Hitler, Yimach Shemai's back?
It was supplies. Tobruk.
Supplies. So because that's the case, they said, you have these massive wells, so if our enemy comes in, they have nothing to worry about, at least not as far as supplies are concerned. The wells are right there. So what they do? They filled the wells. Now, Onkelos renders this tamoinin plishtoi, which sounds like they comes to the word timuna, which means to hide, or kept it for themselves. So Rashi says, you should know, it doesn't mean to hide or keep for themselves, but it means lashon stima. They filled them, they sealed them. Or belashon ha-talmud, in the language and the syntax of the Talmud, that there's this concept in Meseches Pesachim that's talked about mitamteim esalev, what seals the heart, what makes the heart unfeeling, unable to function. So that's what happened. They filled up these wells, and in doing so, they claimed that this was all being done in self-defense. Rashbam and Chizkuni take a different approach. They say that Yitzchak, their official excuse was, if we allow him to have wells, and then there's going to be a second generation of wells, that means that Yitzchak and Avram and their future progeny now have a handle on the earth. It's their Israel. They dug, they developed. This means this expresses their ownership, and that we can't allow it to happen. Because after all, this is ours. It's our land. It's not the Jewish land of the Jews. The Jews are taking away our land. Or Achayim connects the two things. He says you should know that these acts of spite were done directly because of the jealousy. Vayemer Avimelech. Avimelech then says to Yitzchak, Lech meimanu. Go away from here. They're trying to expel him from the land. Ki atzamta mimenu ma'id. Go away. Why? Because you hurt us? Because you did something bad? No. Because you're too great. We can't stand the Jewish success. How terrifyingly timely. Like, so historic. It's like unbelievable. So they said, out of here. Go. Now, Radak tells us that this filling of the wells was after the passing of Avraham. And the Eruv Chaim further says that it says in the Torah, in the last pasuk we learned, it said, Sitmu, and then it says, Vayimalum Ofer. So first of all, they disabled the well. How? By throwing huge boulders in the well. But after tossing boulders in the well, then they filled it with earth and soil. Why? In case Yitzchak would want to redig the well. Not only the well shouldn't be useful, which is full of rocks, so you can't use it, but then they filled it with earth, so Yitzchak should not be able to redig the well. So they wanted to make sure that the damage was not just damage, it was not just vandalism, but it was a permanent destruction. And now they said, get out of here. They took away what belonged to him, and then they said, you should leave. Now, what was the problem? They harmed Yitzchak's residuals. They stuffed his wells. They tried to undo the legacy of Avraham Avinu. They didn't want the Jewish people to have a hold on Eretz Yisrael. Why'd they have to chase him away for?
Why didn't they just try to kill him?
Because we read in yesterday's Chumash that Avimelech said nobody's allowed to touch this person. And interestingly, that's why, because they were not allowed to touch him, so that's why the people were afraid to go near him. Because they're afraid to harm him physically, but they went to harm his residuals.
That's amazing. It's
so what's the official reason? So Ramban says, they said this is an embarrassment that a Jew has more money than the king. It's an embarrassment. You are undermining the values, the virtues of our society. Our society wishes to respect the king, and you undermine the government. You undermine the reputation and integrity of the king by having a nicer house than the king himself. And therefore, you have to leave. The Radak says, this is maybe even because Avimelech himself became frightened that somebody might actually do more than just harm his property. And he was afraid because Hashem warned him, don't you dare mess around with my Yitzchak. So because he had this fear, so therefore he said, you know what? Just leave here and that's all. At any rate, Yitzchak goes. Verse 17. Vayelech b'sham Yitzchak. Yitzchak goes, vayicham b'nachal Gror. He settles in the Gror, the gorge of Gror. Vayeshev sham. He encamps there and he settles there.
Where is Gror?
Very good question. So Rashi says that Gror is rachik min ha'ir. It's actually, he didn't go to a different place, but he moved from the urban area. So he was kind of in a rural place, in the area where people didn't have to look at it and see it every day. It didn't bother them as much. When he was living in the city, right there in the middle of everybody, then they couldn't stand it. So Yitzchak said, I'll try to live under the radar a little.
Were they aware that God gave this land to Abraham and his...
Were they aware that this land was promised by God? I'm going to go out on a limb and say they probably were aware. They were aware of the future. They were aware that a Jewish people is germinating and growing here. And they figured there was no people. It was a family. It was a person now. It's going to have two little children. It's not an immediate threat. But I think they did know. All right. So he settles far from the city. Ramban says he actually moved to a different city. He moved to a city which was in the land of Pelishtim, geographically. But for whatever reason, it wasn't under the actual sway of the government. So he left the tutelage of the government of Avimelech. It was now no longer under that band. Vayoshev Yitzchak. Yitzchak returns. Vayachpeir es be'erois hamayim asher chofru b'mei Avraham. He redigs the wells which were dug in the days of Avraham Aviv. It's interesting. We hear about Yitzchak digging, but we never hear about Avraham digging. We hear about Avram's servants digging. It's under Avram's tutelage, but not with Avram's involvement. Avraham Avinu is not the well digger. Avraham Avinu is the water dispenser. He gives people hydration. He gives them things. He provides hospitality. But we don't hear about digging wells. Yitzchak, on the other hand, digs the well. The well that was dug not by Avram, but in the days of Avram, under the tutelage of Avram. So Avram digs these wells. Yitzchak digs these wells, which were subsequently vayisatmum pelishtim, subsequently sealed or filled by the pelishtim, achrei mois Avram, after the passing of Avram, like Ramban said, this happens after the passing, vayikr lohem shemes, he called them names, kashemes asher kodol lohem aviv, similar names to the names that his father had used. Now Rashi says, Vayoshav, Vayachper. We have two verbs here. He returned and he dug. Says Rashi, what does that mean? Habeedes asher chofru bimei Avraham Aviv. The very same wells which were dug in the days of Avraham Aviv. Upelishtim sitmum, and the Pelishtim sealed those wells. So in that case, that was where Avraham was. That was in Gerar. And then that was where he was prior. Because they were jealous of him. We talked about doing that. So Rashi says, Mikredim shenasa Yitzchak, before Yitzchak left Gerar and went to Nachal Gerar, so before he left the municipal area or the urban area, according to Rashi, Chozav v'chafar, he went ahead and redug those wells.
So there's a problem here. First, why the Torah says that Yitzchak left for Gerar and then he came back? And they should chronologically, why?
Okay, it's a good question. So one second, let's get this. Clearly, the wells that we're talking about have to be not in the new place where Yitzchak settled, but in the old place where Yitzchak was, right? So you want to know why first does it say Yitzchak went away, and then afterwards does it say that he redug those wells, okay? It's a good question. I ask you another question. What's up with the business of the names? Why did he have to call them names? The same kind of names that were called by his father. Not the wells his father dug. Avram didn't dig wells. But he called wells names. He was a well-namer, not a well-digger. And Yitzchak was a well-digger who then re-gave the names. What is up with that? What is the pshat? So first of all, why he dug those wells is because he said, I may not live here. I'm going somewhere else. But this land belongs to me. And like David correctly says, but title, calling it the same way as Avram called it, is about title. It's about establishing ownership here. Correct. Another thing to emphasize here is, when you have a situation where you're challenged, it's called in Hebrew an irur. Somebody says it's not really yours. What's the first thing you should do? You demonstrate exactly the opposite. You say no. You say this is not mine, it is. It is mine. I'm going to redig the well, I'm going to name it, and so on and so forth. The point was, I think, Menachem, that the reason that we're told that first Yitzchak moves away and only afterwards we're told about digging the well is because the purpose of digging the well was not for his own use. He left already. He's going to leave. That's not the point. He's going to establish a presence. He's going to say, you didn't win. I'm going to leave. I get that. But the wells will be redug. And that which you did or tried to undo will not stand. The wells will be. Now the Ksava Kabbalah says something phenomenal. He says something phenomenal. He says this is not just about history and it's not just about title. This is about influence. Avraham Avinu called the wells names which influenced society in a positive direction. This was part of Avram's massive education.
History has influence. When you see the Jews were there for thousands of years.
True, true. History does have an influence. And those who want to be open-eyed know history. Those who want to deny history, they get a job in UNESCO and they deny history. That's fine. But the point here is why the names? Why emphasis the names? So the Ksava Kabbalah says the names because those names had a message. It's like making God a household name. People said, that well. Avraham Avinu did everything in a choreographed fashion. There was a very, very pointed reason that he called it a certain name, and they tried to uproot that name, and he tried to return. The Ksava Kabbalah says he returned Avraham's faith. These were beacons of Avraham's faith. These were the almost teaching points, teaching moments. The name of something in and of itself had a message. Incidentally, speaking about history, and those who deny our history, what do they do when it comes to names? Names like the Temple Mount, what do they call it?
They change it.
They change the name. They want to change the name of Yerushalayim. They want to change the name of Shechem. They want to change the name of Hebron. They change the names. How little has changed in so many years?
How little has changed.
How little has changed. But here we are still. So this is the story with Yitzchak being sent away. And the Torah says, Vayachpru avdi Yitzchak benochal, Then Yitzchak sets out digging his own wells. He says, you're not going to beat me. The old wells that were redug and renamed. Yitzchak, living in a new place, starts digging his own wells. Interestingly, when it came to Riggy digging his father's wells, it says he dug them himself. When it comes to the wells, the new wells, there it says Avdi Yitzchak. It doesn't say Yitzchak dug his wells. It says the servants of Yitzchak. It doesn't say him himself. Those wells are dug, and what happens? There's a fight. There's contention. Verse 20. They came along and said, "No, no, no! This is no good. You think you dug a well?" They said, "Lano hamayim. It's our water. Land of Israel is barren. Jewish people come there. They plant it. They develop it. They grow it. What do our enemies say? No, this is ours." It's our gas that you discovered. It's our water that you discovered. Everything is ours. This is not yours. And so they fight, and there's contention. Vayikra Shem Haber Esek. They called the name of that well contention. Kisasku Ime, because they wrestled with him. So Yitzchak goes ahead and he digs another well, and that doesn't work either. They call it Sitna. So we have this well that they fight about. And then we have a well which has this idea of disruption. So the well of contention, well of disruption. And the Torah finishes off by telling us that they did dig a well, and that well was called Rechovot. Rechovot means broad and spacious. And he said, "Oh, Ata, Hirchev Hashem Lanu Panino Baratz." Now we have been allowed a little bit of breathing room. We have some spacious reality here in the land. Let's go to page Shin Dalad Mem, 344, Simon Chof Dalad. A deeply insightful commentary from Ramban about this business of well digging and Yitzchak's pastimes, or Yitzchak's efforts. Says Ramban, and this is a quote, we begin with a quote from Ramban and bold on top, Be'er Mayim Chayim, a well of life, waters of life, Yirmois. This is a, this alludes to the Beis Elikim, to the house of God, Asher Yasu Banav Shel Yitzchak, that the great grandchildren of Yitzchak will someday build. Vayikra HaRishon, the first well was called Esek, or contention. Ramban says Yirmois L'Bayis Rishon. This alludes to the first Beis HaMikdash, which in fact was ultimately destroyed. Hasheni Karashma Sitna, the second is called Sitna, disruption. Shem Kosha in Harishan. Contention means there's something okay, but there's a contention about it. Disruption means disruption. It's disruptive. Even worse, Shem Kosha in Harishan. Huabayas Hasheni, that's the second Beis HaMikdash. Lasted 10 years longer. Not in any way, shape, or form comes close even to the first Beis HaMikdash. Vashlishi, and the third one, which is called Rechovot. This is the future home. Sheyivne b'meheira b'yameinu, that will be built speedily and in our days, wrote Ramban. So the Rebbe begins a commentary on this teaching. And he says it's explained in Megala Amukis. Sheshaloshes ha'ovois, that the three patriarchs, him k'neged shaloshes amudim, correspond to the three pillars that the world stands on. There's Torah, there's Avoda, and there's Gemilas Chasad. Avraham Avinu, he represents kindness and hospitality. Avraham Avinu represents Gemilas Chasadim. Yitzchak, the well digger, the tenacious, continuous efforts, that represents the idea of Avoda. Once service in the Beis HaMikdash, in our time, the concept of tefillah, of davening. Very difficult to daven. If they really dig deep into yourself. Yaakov, a father Jacob, he represents Torah. By virtue of this, we could perhaps explain why the Bate Migdosh, why the houses of worship of the Jewish people, the very first time they ever alluded to in the entirety of Torah, is Davke Bekesha LeYitzchak. We don't talk about Avraham Avinu's in Avraham Avinu's forest, Avraham Avinu's orchard, even though some of those trees, according to the Medrash, actually later became the original Mishkan, or the first prototype. We don't talk about that. Where do we allude to the concept of the three Batei Mikdash? Specifically with Yitzchak. Why is this? Because Yitzchak corresponds to Avoda. And originally Avoda was where? In the Beis HaMikdash. So that makes sense. Yitzchak. So Avoda, that should be the one who communicates or brings to us this message of a Beis HaMikdash. The Rebbe adds now a very, very profound and incredible nuance to all of this. Rebbe says furthermore, it's not just the point that Yitzchak corresponds to Avoda. And because Yitzchak corresponds to Avoda, so that's why the idea of the Beis HaMikdash is alluded to in the story and efforts of Yitzchak. It's more so. There's something about well-digging itself, which is very unique to the concept of Beis HaMikdash. Bechafiras be'er, in the digging of a well, kedei limtzei mayim, in order to find water, yeshnam shnei tzedadim. There are two very different parts, two very different dimensions. Mitzad echad, on one hand, hachafira, the act of digging, who does it? People do it. How do people do it? By working really hard. It's all about, it's done bidei adam, it's done by virtue of human effort. V'hi doreshes yegia rabba. It takes tremendous toil. Benigud, this is in sharp contrast, to a mayan. A mayan is a natural fountainhead. Shenivrikach bidei shamayim. There are wells, a fountainhead. So a spring, a natural spring of water, didn't have to be dug. That's by the hand of Hashem. Hashem put that into nature. Ach mitzad sheni, on the other hand, hamayim sheyotzim me'abe'er, the waters themselves that you eventually reach through digging the well, einem bo'im mikoyach adam, they don't come from human effort. Human beings don't create that water. It's not like a building. Where does the water come from? It's always there. So what did the human being do? He merely exposed it. He revealed what was always there. Meser es ha'afar ha'machasa isam. He removes the crust of earth that covers them. Ve'heim pertzen ve'olim aleihem. And once you remove the covering, automatically the water comes up. Shnei tzedadim elu, these two parts, are a imperfect corollary to the definition of Beis HaMikdash. How so? Etzem ashras hashchina, the very notion that there is the dwelling of a divine presence, the virtue of Hashem's presence in a particular place, that's bar mitzvah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No human being can create a divine presence. That's ridiculous. How can a person create a presence? If Hashem's presence is somewhere, why is it there? Because Hashem caused His presence to be there. Hashem sends His presence there. Hashem allows His presence to be there. Just because a person does things doesn't mean that he can't create an atmosphere of Hashem's presence. He can't create a Shechina. But, Aval Kadesh HaShechina Ochen Tishra, if you want the Shechina to be there, Nidreshes Yigia Rabba, it don't happen by itself. A lot of hard work is necessary. And that has to happen, Mitzad B'nei Yisrael, on behalf of the children of Israel. This is the virtue of the Jewish people. Sha'aleihem, it is our mitzvah. And we know, of course, it's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. The Rambam says it's one of the 613 mitzvahs. What's our job? Live nice is Beis HaMikdash. It's our job to actually build a Beis HaMikdash. You don't say, oh, Hashem's presence, sure. It's on the mountain. No, we have to build it. We have to make the Beis HaMikdash happen. And building a Beis HaMikdash takes tremendous effort. It has to be done b'koyach. Is by the virtue, power, and dint of Avedosam V'yigiosam. By virtue of the power and efforts. Kedivra HaKosov, like the Pasuk says, V'asu li migdash, God says, you'll make me a migdash. Who's V'asu? Jewish people. When you do your part, what happens? V'shochanti. Hashem says, I will dwell amongst them. So this is the idea of the third Beis HaMikdash. Of course, you could ask the question that the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be built by Hashem. So how does that fit with this whole paradigm of well-being? That's a reasonable question. And the Rebbe says that the answer is very simple. It is true that the third Beis HaMikdash will be affected by, quote, the hand of God. However, what will bring to it? What will bring us to that point that Hashem will rebuild the third Beis HaMikdash? The answer is the study of Torah and performance of mitzvahs, despite the enormous challenges that Galut throws our way. And specifically, at times, it'll be the courage medal of the Jewish people, even the sacrifice, even the Mesidus Nefesh. And that's why it's like a well. Because when those waters are revealed and the water surges, the waters will surge by themselves. However, getting there is very, very hard. The third Beis HaMikdash, it'd be the most amazing well of spirituality. Nothing can compare to it. Digging that well is also very hard. And that's why this goal is taking so long. Because really, our job is to dig these wells of inspiration. And we continue digging, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help us, and the waters will be reached. It's interesting that this message is couched in the same reading that talks about anti-Semitism. A very, very twisted and grotesque examples of anti-Semitism that are all too familiar for us as students of history. Denial of Jewish people's connection to the land of Israel. Denial of the efforts we made to build Israel. Jealousy because we're successful. And along with this also comes an allusion to the efforts being made on our behalf to build the Beis HaMikdash. We allude to the great difficulty that's attached to it. And yet, we hear the promise of the ultimate redemption and perfection of the building of the third Beis HaMikdash. May it be speedily in our days. Amen.
It's interesting.
Amazing.
How do I connect Reuven Shimon Levi Yehuda for Kretschmer and